last time on Oz Hour.
Okay, last time on Oz Hour, these people are in the tube. Repeat, they are in the tube. While they are there, they meet lots of interesting people. I'm not going to say names because y'all know where that's going to go. So we're here and they realize, oh, we broke the law because no one's allowed to go down the tube. And so they're going to reap consequences. But then they explain, we didn't go down the tube, actually. It was fucking that dude that changes his name 24/7. The Metal Monarch. He pushed him down the tube. So now he's in trouble. And then there's that guy, Isha, you guys know who he is. he's the private guy that is in control of everyone down there. And he says, oh, okay, so you guys aren't going to be in trouble. The fucking Metal Monarch is in trouble. So we're going to go get him. And so he gathers everyone. Oh, wait, no, they also meet the daylight and the sunlight and the starlight and all those. They're very polychrome coded. We go, we meet them. And then we are going to now back to the tube to go punish the Metal Monarch. And we learn about the dragons. And there's the youngest dragon, and he's going to escort them out of the tube to get the guy. Done.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 48 of Oz Hour, the only place where you can hear everything you never knew about the wonderful and strange land of Oz.
That's right. With the help of some alcohol, we will be discussing each of the 14 books in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz series.
Today, we will be continuing with Book 8, TikTok of Oz, covering chapters 14 through 16.
We're your hosts, Blake Stone.
And Wyatt Swanger.
And joining us, as always, is our resident Oz initiate, Hannah Aguirre.
Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not cheat. Thou shalt not get caught, or you'll end up just like me.
Charlie, I'd like that bleeped in post.
It just came to me out of nowhere. It's a song I wrote.
Oh my God, shut up. Okay. Hannah just played Last Time on, where she recapped what happened last time in TikTok of Oz. How long did that take?
That took 1 minute and 32 seconds.
Okay, I'm going to cover what I got. But while I was busy.
That time's pretty good, though.
Well,
depends.
Yeah.
It, like, there's multiple levels to the game.
Yeah.
There's speed and accuracy.
It's about what you accomplish.
I'm looking at time.
Okay, well, and it shows. So, first of all, I don't know who you're calling those people, but they are Betsy, Bobbin, Hank, and the 16 Oogaboo officers, Joe Files, Ozga, the Shaggy Man, and TikTok.
See, they're... You can't. I mean, you're going to tell
it's
me to
get
all those names?
It's a big group.
I do know half of them, but then there's a lot that I don't know.
I wish you would have said Betsy and Shaggy Man at least.
Sorry. I had to get through it.
Also, the Metal Monarch is the Gnome King, Ruggedo, formerly known as Roquat the Red.
And yes. Roquat of the Rocks.
I did say Metal Monarch.
You did say Metal Monarch.
Why is Metal Monarch a twist?
Metal Monarch. Yes, I am. I feel like I am. Also, we learn about the original dragon whose grandson Quox is going to be TDT Hoochoo the Jinjin's instrument of justice.
Oh.
Yeah.
I forgot.
The dragons
about
are
all
a big deal. The dragons are enormous. But they're also like in the story. They're a big deal.
Yeah. There was just a lot missing. But to be fair, that was an insane amount happened in the last episode.
Yeah.
So, like,
I deliberately explained everything as confusing as possible. So I'm sorry for that. But I hope everyone caught up. Before we started recording, Wyatt whipped up some delicious looking cocktails. What do we have?
So tonight we are drinking a cocktail that will be familiar to some of you. As we all may recall, the Gnome King has had two names in the past. He was originally Ruggedo of the Rocks, so we drank Ruggedo on the Rocks. Roquat of the Rocks. His second name was Roquat the Red when we had a Roquat the Red drink. And today we drink the toast to the final name for the Gnome King.
Ooh.
Ruggedo on the Rocks.
Ooh.
It is tequila. It is Campari. It is experimental.
You had me at tequila.
It smells good.
The recipe for which you can find on our Instagram at Oz Hour Podcast.
Ding. Let's slurp. The Campari is a little bitter, but I like it.
A little bitter. Chapter 14. The long-eared hearer learns by listening. Which, that's a stretch for an alliteration.
Yeah, say that five times. Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, that's
Wait, say it again.
The long-eared hearer learns by listening.
We got hearer, we got eared, we got listen. We got wait, listening's good. Listening works.
There's just not enough L's in there for
yeah,
my taste.
Yeah, I can't even say that once.
So as our friends are flying through the forbidden tunnel on the back of Quox, the Gnome King is just amusing himself in his caverns.
But he's bored.
He's attempting to amuse himself in the caverns. See, he's having a hard time enjoying the day because all the gnomes are well behaved. There's no one to punish. So he spends a lot of the morning begging Calico to stand still while he throws a scepter at him so that he can just cause someone abuse.
Yeah, just for fun. Like, Calico didn't do anything bad. He's just throwing the scepter.
Karma's a bitch.
Amen.
And the Gnome King didn't really want to hurt Calico because he needed him. Because here we find out Calico is pretty important to the Gnome King. He's the only one who can make the gnomes do their work when Ruggedo can't. Because they fucking hate Ruggedo.
The gnomes hate his guts.
Yeah.
Damn.
They could, and it says
he's going to get fucked.
Yeah. And I wonder, because the text tells us that the thousands of gnomes could easily like rebel and overtake him. It would be so easy. And they just haven't. But
maybe
makes you
if
wonder.
They have a little inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, since Calico is like one of the gnomes, like he's like, guys, just do the fucking work. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. He's like a man of the people.
He's
kind of
like the only reason there hasn't been mutiny so far. But since everyone's working so hard and being so obedient, even Calico's bored. Like, he doesn't have anything to do either. So he's like, hey, long-eared hearer, like, why don't you listen to what's going on and report it to us, you know?
Oh, yeah, I forgot that's the guy that can...
The long-eared hearer.
It's like basically the book.
Yeah.
Yes, he's the book.
He can hear what's
wheels.
Far away.
So the long-eared hearer comes in and he listens and reports that the women in America have clubs, social clubs, because it's 1914 and all that good stuff.
I thought
stuff.
Like clubs, like beating people.
Well,
with.
So does the Gnome King.
That's the, yeah. He's like, do they have spikes?
I'm like, women with clubs should not be trusted. Yeah, women in clubs.
It's really Gnome King coded, the way that you're behaving.
Yeah. But let me see your feet. Are there like ruby slippers?
I'm just sitting here.
But no, they do not have spikes. They are social clubs, which like I was interested in that, and I did a little mild research, and basically like during the First World War, like a lot of women like started like social clubs and like, you know, as ways to build community. So,
yeah, honestly, get a life.
Yeah. And it's World War One right now.
Right now?
As it's being written.
Here?
How did he sell books? Since these clubs aren't for destruction, the Gnome King is pretty unimpressed, thinks his scepter is much better. And Ruggedo is like, well, what else do you hear, long-eared hearer? And he says, there's a war.
But the Gnome King says, well, there are always wars going on, so I actually don't care about that.
Give me
that.
Something interesting.
And then he gets to the part where he's like, I hear people who are discussing who's going to be the one to conquer the Metal Monarch, take his treasure, drive him out of his
can
land.
Can you use this information?
Yeah.
I don't know if
like,
this is interesting to you.
It's crazy. And the Gnome King is like, what? What people? And he's like, the ones that you sent down the tube. Like, that's who I'm listening to again. And he's like, where are they? Like, they must be on the other side of the world?
The hero's like, no, they're in the tube, but they're coming back this way.
Yeah. And Ruggedo begins pacing. He is pacing, he's fuming, he's furious.
Okay, well now you're not bored anymore.
Seriously, yeah.
You got something
to do so bad.
We're at war.
Yeah.
The long-eared hearer is like, what if we took the tube and we flipped it the other way and they just kept going down?
Well... Why is that just a thing that anyone is able to do?
Well, that's
it's
the
insane.
Thing. Ruggedo is like, oh, like he thinks he's being sarcastic and he's like making fun of him and he like scowls at him and he's like, oh, like, you know, like yeah. you're being fucking yeah. shitty, but it's like that's you did that already.
Impossible. Apparently that's impossible.
But it's like they already did that. Like, and everyone can do that now.
Yeah. I don't get it. But Ruggedo asks the hearer, he's like, okay, how far away are the enemies? And based on the sound of their voices, he's able to give an exact distance. Any guess?
I'm going to say by miles, maybe.
Miles, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say 8.5 miles.
What do we have, Wyatt?
9,360 miles, 17 furlongs, 8 feet and 4 inches. So, farther than 8 miles.
I didn't even know a furlong was a thing.
What the fuck? Oh, wait, no. Okay, he has good ears.
Yeah, but like he can hear the middle of the earth. Yeah, wait, what do you mean he has good ears?
Oh, well, he has good ears.
I mean, he has really good hearing. That guy could hear a pin drop.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So, also though, just as a side note, he lists furlongs as a unit of measurement, 17 furlongs. What do you think a furlong is?
I have no idea. $5 furlong?
A size Ooh. Of bear fur.
No, it's an eighth of a mile. I looked it up.
Fur means an eighth?
Furlong.
Oh, you're right. Why did I think long had anything to do with
I was thinking like mine. The size of like a bear rug, like bearskin rug, you know? Like,
I get that.
But or like something
or like a
with
mink.
Like 6 feet.
Yeah. 6 feet?
No, it's... I mean, it's 220 yards, like almost 700 feet.
Hannah, since you want to talk about movies all the time, if you want to watch a scary bear movie, Backcountry.
Yeah, it was disturbing. Mm-hmm. Not a great movie, but it really got my heart racing.
Not a great movie. Very scary.
What about Cocaine Bear?
That's
not scary, but very funny.
Okay. And just as one other aside, he says they're 9,360 miles away. I looked up how far across the Earth is. It's only 7,900 miles.
Whoops.
So they were farther away than the other side of the earth, according to him.
9,360 miles.
But it's not how you measure the earth. That does not give you the earth. So just interesting. I don't know. That's nothing. But
however, Ruggedo is satisfied with this news. And he's like, okay.
How long is this? Do we have an idea? I'm sorry to bring it back to the miles, but like... How long is this goddamn tube?
Well,
okay. Well, they're moving slower this time because last time they fell for like still it was like hours that they fell, but this time they're right. moving slower because a Quox is like riding on his nails. Because if you remember last time, they were going way too fast and like it was making everyone sick on the back of the dragon. So now he's like skating down.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah. Okay.
It's going to take longer, but it's like, I don't know, 2 days? Let's say 2 days.
Is he a jet plane?
No.
Well, not at this point, but like, how long have they been traveling? I don't know.
Oh, they've been traveling for probably like an hour and a half. I think it probably takes them 5 hours to get through the Earth.
So Ruggedo is really satisfied with the distance, and he's like, okay, we have plenty of time to prepare for their arrival. And he goes and he pounds on his gong, and Calico runs in. Apparently, he left. And the Gnome King tells Calico, okay, the invaders are coming back up the tube. And Calico's like, yeah, there wasn't a world where TDT Hoochoo didn't send them back up here. That's what happens. You get tortured for days and you get sent back up the tube. Like, of course they're coming back.
Yeah, he's like, he didn't want them in his land. Like, he told us not to throw anything down there. Like, you know that. And, like, of course he's sending them up.
Yes, yeah. Calico, fucking put him in his goddamn place.
Yeah, thank God he wrote those letters of recommendation for himself at the beginning.
Seriously.
I think he's been fed up. But Calico tells Ruggedo, like, yeah, you fucked up throwing them down the tube. Like, we were forbidden to use that. And Ruggedo is like, dude, I'm not afraid of the Jinjin. He lives on the other side of the world in his kingdom.
Okay, yeah. Well, you stupid idiot. Guess what's coming straight towards you right now?
Yeah. That's well, what Calico says. He's like, he could send someone. Like, he could send anyone. And the Gnome King is like, oh, like, I'd like to see him try. Like, who could
that's
possibly conquer?
What's happening right now with a dragon?
Yeah. His argument is, who's going to possibly conquer 1,000 gnomes? And Calico's like, you've actually been conquered before. And I actually saw you running in fear from a young girl and a chicken.
Damn.
Yeah.
He is fucking
yes,
speaking.
Calico.
He, like, mama kudos for saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mama kudos. Thanks for spilling.
But the Gnome King is like, Dorothy had a hen that laid eggs. That is fucking scary.
And here's something that we're going to learn that's a little interesting.
Ooh.
What do you know about gnomes and eggs?
It's fear.
Okay, there's yeah. so much more to it than that.
As we come to find out.
Apparently.
Yeah. Cuz
ooh, give me the lore.
So, we've heard before that eggs belong on the earth, and it actually made more sense in this reading because he specified because that's where the birds and the fowl are.
There's no
so
birds like, underground.
Yeah, in which I'm like, okay, I think there's maybe something about that. There's also other eggs, but they hate the eggs, especially hen's eggs. So, okay, that's what we already knew. But the thing we didn't know is that if the inside of an egg touches a gnome, they shrivel up and wither away and get blown away in the wind. Unless they speak a magical word, which very few gnomes know.
We read a book where the gnomes got fucking like with yeah. eggs. Did they all know the magic word?
The Gnome King had both his eyes filled with a different egg each in the like third book, and he did not wither up.
And that's like an open. That's I was almost gonna say open wound.
Yeah, oh yeah, well, but it's an orifice.
It's an, yeah, orifice. That's what yeah, I was well,
organ. It's a
mucous membrane.
Mucous membrane. Thank you.
Yeah. And so if
that's the worst place it is it the could worst. Get.
Other than just opening his mouth and just going with an egg. Like,
honestly, yeah. And like all he had to do was make the Gnome King blind now. And that would be so fucking
that'd be
sick.
Crazy.
That'd be so cool.
But the thing also is that, okay, well, unless they know the magic word. So if the Gnome King knew the magic word, presumably he'd get hit in both eyes and then he would say it really quick and he'd be fine. But the problem I have is, when they say so few gnomes know this magic word, I'm like, just write the word everywhere.
Everyone should know
it.
That.
Yeah.
That's a human right.
Where
everybody
other
knows
gnomes?
The Heimlich. Like, yeah, I. Yeah. It's crazy.
That is, it is a gnomish right to have the magic word.
I
yeah,
agree.
They should have that.
And it's like, if, because are there gnomes elsewhere? And it's
hell
like,
no.
They know it? Hmm. No. You're just, I mean, I would assume that these are where all the gnomes are. So
more
why
gnomes
is it not
means more
so?
Gnome kings.
Exactly. Especially when they're like evil and they want to conquer things.
Yeah, yeah. They're all going
to
be
and
together.
And you know that there's someone around that has eggs to possibly hurt you with.
Yeah. It's crazy. But the good thing.
But who am I? I'm no.
No.
I'm no war strategist.
You certainly aren't, honey.
Neither is he.
Yeah. But Dorothy isn't here. And neither's the hen. That's the bottom line. He's like, hey, yeah. There's no danger.
And TDT Hoochoo doesn't know that the gnomes are scared of eggs.
Even though you'd think the fairy record would say that. You'd think he would look at the fairy record. But still.
Especially when you have a tube attached to that.
Yeah, there's a tube, like literally. Yeah.
You should know a little bit about who you're attached to.
I think TDT Hoochoo has a long ear to hear
yeah.
somewhere.
When the Gnome King moved in right across the tube from TDT Hoochoo, he probably went and just looked up the Gnome King in the dictionary
yeah,
and like read everything about him. Like there's
he
no
read
way.
In the Encyclopedia Oscanica.
Encyclopedia Oscanica.
No, he has ChatGPT.
Oh my God, yeah. They had wireless
in the form
telegrams.
Of, in the form of a book with pages.
Yes. Yeah.
But Calico is like, dude, you don't know what TDT Hoochoo knows, which is basically what we're saying right now. Like,
yeah.
Calico is like, TDT Hoochoo might know that we are all going to be killed by eggs. He might have a bunch of eggs being like pushed out of birds as we speak. You don't know this. He's more powerful than any of us. And Ruggedo like turns to the hearer and he's like, do you hear any eggs coming through the tube?
And Calico's like, shut the fuck up. He's like, if you want to know if there's eggs, like, let's look through the spyglass. So they go to the magical spyglass that bends around at a magic word, and it goes into the tube or whatever, and it sees the friends. And Calico sees they're on a fucking dragon.
Yeah.
And that's so freaky.
Oh, they didn't even see the dragon.
They had no idea.
They just heard the voices.
So Calico's like, oh,
that's some news.
How to say they are riding on the back of a massive dragon, about 6 or 7 school buses if we had those.
Damn.
Yeah.
But the Gnome King is like, what about eggs? Are there eggs? And Calico is like,
well, what if there are dragon eggs?
That's what
dead.
Blake and I were talking about that earlier. We were like, that, I mean, granted, Quox is, I think, a man dragon. I don't know if that means he has eggs or not, because, like, different lizards can do different things. But I agree with Calico here, because he's like, yeah, there's no eggs, but the dragon actually might be as dangerous as eggs. I'm like, yeah.
Have you ever heard of being burned alive?
Yeah. Well, some people have.
So Ruggedo doesn't even think about the burned alive, because he's just like, all a dragon can do is bite and scratch. And Calico is like, I'm pretty sure a dragon can do more than that.
Also, it's the biggest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But like, let's just say all it can do is bite and scratch. That is fucking terrible. We're fucked. We're done. Yeah. Because Calico says that a dragon is so big it could crush several gnomes with one swing of its tail.
100 gnomes.
Hundreds. Or use its teeth and claws to tear the gnomes into such small pieces that they can't be put back together again.
Which is almost exactly what you said a minute ago, by the way.
Yeah.
About, or maybe that was last episode.
Oh, yes, because the hamburger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You, what did I say?
You have to listen back, girl.
But I was drunk.
Calico explains a story about how a few hundred years ago, he was walking through some random caverns, and he found a little piece of a gnome. And the little piece included the gnome's mouth. And he was like, what happened to you? And the gnome is like, oh, I was actually torn up by a dragon, and I was alone, so all my pieces got blown away. And now I can never be put back together. So now I'm just a gnome mouth here sitting as a piece in this cavern.
I just, there's no reason. I don't ever want to live in Oz.
No, let me die.
It sounds actually, like literal hell.
How many times on this show have we said, kill me?
Literally. Like, Oz seems so magical, and like, it's the place to be. It's the new fucking
prison.
Spot. No.
God. It's fucking...
You're gonna die there.
Where's the place? Limbo. Like, where's the place you go?
Purgatory.
Purgatory.
It is purgatory.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Forever.
That's just what it forever. Is.
Because you can never move on, because you're a little immortal gnome. That's his little tale of warning. And to this, the Gnome King just says, well, we'll chain the dragon up and that'll be fine.
Calico
Which
is like,
just insane.
It's insane. Calico's like, dude, as if my story didn't do enough for you, dragons breathe flames.
He's pissed.
But the gnomes aren't scared of flames. He's like, we don't fucking care. We work in the furnace. We like swim in the lava.
Okay, well, the furnace doesn't fucking blow fire at you in a strategic way. I don't know why I keep on trying to bring strategy into it.
You're in your warmonger period.
I really am.
But they basically, though, the Gnome King says, once the dragon is taken care of, they can drive the invading army out, and then anyone who's captured is gonna get stuck with needles as torture. And Calico's like, well, not the girls, right? Like, you're not going to torture those girls.
Ruggedo's like, I'll hurt them all.
Yeah, that's what he says. That's a quote.
Calico's mad.
Remember when Ruggedo didn't want to hurt the girls? He was like, Ozma and Dorothy are not going to be slaves. They're going to be little trinkets out above my fireplace.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, apparently that truth pond did something to his brain.
Yeah. The waters of oblivion, not the truth pond.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe he drank the truth pond.
The truth pond. No, the truth pond, you'll get sick if you drink from that. Mm,
that's true.
But finally, like, Calico's like, okay, boss, crazy idea. What if we just gave the Shaggy Man the ugly one? Like, if we just give the Shaggy Man his brother back, this would all stop. We could just stop this.
But the Gnome King's never going to do that.
It's not good enough.
No. He's like, I don't want the ugly one, but I also don't want to be given orders. And then he takes his scepter and he throws it at Calico. But he misses and he clips the long-eared hearer's ear.
No.
And it slices part of it off. And it is gushing blood.
No.
He's like running away with it. And then the Gnome King actually regrets that because he needs those ears.
Yeah.
So then he tells Calico. So he like just basically ignores everything and just says, hey, Calico, get General Guff and tell him to get the armies ready.
Guff!
This reminds me of a time. I'm pretty sure I've told you guys this story before, but I haven't told the podcast this story. But I was working at this one brewery. And there's this psychopath that worked there, and he would always throw fits on Sundays. And we were working one Sunday, it was busy as fuck, and he got really ticked off. And I was in the kitchen, and he threw a plate at the wall, and I was right next to the wall. Glass shatters everywhere and cuts my leg. And I was just like, are you kidding me?
And I quit the next week. We need a trigger warning.
TW. But that's what that's giving.
Yeah.
It's a lot like that. He is a tantrum boy. Remember when he was kicking his shins? He's like,
yeah.
Like, what do you do? And now all of a sudden, this fucking magical being has just lost his, like, half of his power.
So like,
can he hear from the other?
I mean, I'm not justifying what's happened, but it's just the like the top of the ear. So like, the hearing part still works.
So he still hears.
He still hears.
Not as good.
Okay, shut the fuck up then. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Now you're throwing plates. Now you're the plate thrower.
No, because literally it was like the tiniest cut ever, like on my leg. But I made a big deal.
You were like, ow.
Oh my god.
No, the long-eared hero was like, oh. And then like he ran away.
He does run away though.
But also, did you hear the part about General Guff? You don't remember General Guff. General Guff like led the war against Oz a couple books ago.
Yeah.
Remember he got the phantasms and the
he was the fucking sneaky guy.
Yeah, he was sick.
He actually, I think, got stuck by needles and tortured by those things.
General Guff walked so that Private Joe Files could run.
Oh my god. Actually, yeah. Because he was like kind of psycho in the beginning, but then you realize. At the end, I guess he really out-psychoed everyone.
He stayed crazy until he drank from that forbidden fountain.
Yeah.
They love forbidden shit. These gnomes cannot stay away from forbidden shit. Anyway. Ruggedo apologizes profusely to the long-eared hearer while General Guff comes and gets his army all suited up. And once the army is all suited up, they are ordered to march to the mouth of the tube and seize the invaders as they come out.
And that is the end of chapter 14. The long-eared hearer learns by listening. And Blake, what would you call that?
Gnomes versus dragons.
Chapter 15. The dragon defies danger. Yeah.
Egad.
So we're back in the tunnel.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And like, even though the trip back is taking longer because of their speed, nobody minds it. Like, everyone's having a good time.
Yeah. Much more comfortable.
Road trip.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. They're in like a big tour bus. But Shaggy Man.
Girls just want to have fun. Sorry, that's the montage of them touring the tunnel.
That is what's happening.
It's just a completely dark tunnel.
And like, it's very quietly, girls just want to have fun.
Yeah, pitch black.
Girls just want to have.
Yeah, that's it.
No, and then they disappear forever.
It's like, doom, doom. I don't know what that is.
This summer.
That's coming
something
soon.
In the pipe.
That
something in the tube.
So funny. Okay.
For no particular reason, the Shaggy Man says that he likes Quox because he's their ally. But if he was their enemy, he would hate him for being so conceited and smelling of brimstone and because he's so terrible and everyone would be afraid of him.
Yeah, like, thanks for the ride.
Yeah. I don't know why he does it like that. And Quox is like, cool.
I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah. He's like, I like you say I'm conceited, but like I know my good qualities. And I think that a man with onion breath is also pretty bad. So like leave the brimstone out of it.
Oh. Betsy is like, oh, I disagree. I love the smell of onions. And Quox is like, okay, so opinions differ. Like, let's move on. Like, yeah, we have a long drive.
So we all have different opinions. Interesting.
But then he lets out a blast of fire that rolls over them and reeks of brimstone. And that's Betsy has a coughing fit.
Me and a fight just being truly unfair. Yeah.
Nobody knows how long this trip through the tube is going to take, but Betsy's just like kind of talking to Shaggy, and she's like, isn't it funny that both ways through the tomb we drop through the tomb? No.
It's Tomb Raiders now.
Isn't it funny that both ways we went through the tube, we were dropping down? Like, shouldn't we go back up? Why are we dropping again?
Well, yeah. And Files is like, yeah, it's strange that we can fall in either way. And then TikTok explains that it's because the Earth is round. Okay. Shaggy Man explains it's gravity that pulls everything toward the middle. And I'm like, okay, we're getting closer. But, like, what are you guys talking about?
I'm not catching on.
I think you're just saying things.
It's going to continue feeling like that.
Like, never underestimate the confidence of an old white man in 1914.
Yeah. Because Betsy has some questions about what is going on, or what Shaggy Man is saying. And he explains, like, he was afraid she would ask why, but, you know, the Earth is solid, so everything is stuck to the outside of it. But if there's a hole or like a tube, then you can fall right through. And he further explains that you don't get caught in the middle because the speed you gather going down the tube carries you through and shoots you at the end. And Betsy doesn't understand any of that.
She's actually like getting frustrated.
I wouldn't understand that either, because I'd be like, then why is it taking so long?
Yeah, right. And also, like, are we slowing down at the end then?
Yeah, like, I thought we were like...
She's like, you're saying that things are drawn to the center, but you're also saying things are pushed away from the center, and I'm not getting that. And Shaggy is just like, if you don't understand, leave it alone.
And then Betsy's like, oh, do you understand? Like, she's getting pissed. But then
she's a learning girl.
She is, yeah. She's getting fucking fed up.
Don't worry though. He's just gonna like gaslight his way out of it.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
There's magic all around you, Betsy.
Yeah. He's like, oh, outside the fairylands, there's magic everywhere. In the United States too. There's magic in electricity, in the flowers blooming, even in cows making their milk. It's just, you know, something you take for granted.
It's She's the cows like, making milk.
I believe
milk.
In science.
Yeah.
The cows making milk is just their machinery, like TikTok. See, there's magic everywhere, and you can compare the two things side by side.
But then, all of a sudden, he can't continue anymore because they are blasted by pure sunlight. Oh. They emerge out into the world, and they fly 100 feet into the air.
What?
Far, far farther than they would have thought. They were not expecting this to happen.
Remember, the last guy hit a star.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
They're at risk. You're right.
Well,
God, that guy must have been huge.
They're on a dragon that can fly?
Pretty much.
Yeah, because they end up kind of going all...
I know he's young, but he's been around still for a while.
And he's big. But they go way up, and they end up landing on the top of the mountain.
Okay.
And it just so
happens. They don't hit a star.
It's the mountain that is... on top of the Gnome King's caverns.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So everyone gets out of their seats. They hop to the ground. When they get off Quox's back, the rows of seats just vanish immediately. It's like, okay, you did one part of your punishment. Now that burden's removed from you.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Whoa. But he still has his little ribbon in his locket.
Yeah, it's like, what else is on him?
No, yeah, just okay. Ribbon, locket, and that
string of
pearls.
But does
he want
to get rid of those?
Probably not.
I don't know. He looks really good with them on.
Yeah, that's not to say.
Yeah, he's all dressed up.
You're
going
to be boring without those.
So our friends... the army and all our friends are at the top of the mountain, and down by the tube
oh no
are all of the gnomes where they thought they were going to capture them.
hundreds.
They did not know they were going to come out that fast. They did not know they were going to fly so high. Yeah.
And they're feeling pretty stupid because they're all just like standing down there like, what? Like, it happens so fast.
I mean, they have a dragon.
Exactly, yeah. Well,
are they going to utilize that? I hope they sure do.
One would hope. But to begin with, there basically is just a little shouting match. Because Guff is like, come on down here!
Oh, so they see him.
Yeah, they see him. Like they look up. And they
and
all
they can
look
hear
down.
Each other,
so there's
too.
No surprise.
No.
No, all of the whole army and stuff are looking down at the gnomes. And the gnomes are looking up at them. And Guff is like, get down here and get captured! And they're like, no.
Yeah, Anna's like, why don't you fucking have us come down and then... why don't you guys come up here and capture us? And all the while, she is just furiously winding TikTok up. She's like trying to get him battle ready.
Get
like,
us, I need my fucking private on deck.
Yeah. Army assemble.
That is so funny.
Fully charged.
So yeah.
Guff turns around and he gives his army an order that our friends can't hear. And all of a sudden, all of the gnomes raise their spears and launch them at him.
Hundreds. It's like a dark
it's
cloud
like
of
300.
Spears. It's giving, exactly. It's giving fucking Lord of the Rings, like any of the war scenes.
Yeah.
When they're like,
it's exactly. It's exactly like that. And everyone literally would have been killed, but Quox jumps off the top of the mountain, like runs in front of them, and all the spears hit him, and they just bounce off of him. Like he's made of like. He's basically
tough
made of
one.
Metal. Yeah.
Not one of them sticks.
Yeah. And it doesn't scratch either. So it's actually like an enamel cast iron.
But all don't worry, because all of the gnomes' magic spears fly back to their hands.
Yeah. But
that's
they're also.
Boomerang.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And I'm like, is there magnetics in there? Like the magnetic rubber wires?
It's magic.
It's magic. You're right. There's no science.
Actually,
I don't know why
Wyatt,
I'm asking.
Have you heard of magic?
Yeah, it's all around you, actually. You see a cow?
Yeah, magic, just like sunlight and milk.
Guff realizes, okay, this spear throwing, useless. This is not going anywhere. So now it's Anne's turn to attack. And she says, march. So the generals say, forward, march. Then the colonels, then the majors, then the captains. Then TikTok goes.
They're really good at like visuals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're good at the aesthetic.
Yeah, they put out the energy.
Yeah. We'll see how it plays out.
Well, because
TikTok starts scooting his little way down the mountain and everyone follows behind him and all of the gnomes go back underground.
Yeah.
They're luring them in.
They twinkle and sparkle away and they get out of there.
They're scared?
They are scared, honestly, because they just threw their spears at this dragon.
And nothing happened.
And now they're like under attack. So they all just wink away, which is lucky because TikTok fucking trips on a rock, falls on his stomach, and starts saying, pick me up, pick me up, pick me
up. He literally does, though, Hannah.
He
says it.
Yeah. Every time we've ever said that, he says it. He's saying, pick me up.
That's from the fucking Return to Oz movie. This is the first time he's ever done that in the book.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
All right. Go back and listen.
Return to the Oz. I do remember that. Pick me up. Pick me up.
Yeah.
Yep. First book he's done. So Shaggy and Files, they run and they help TikTok to his feet. And since the enemy of the gnomes all fled into their caverns, there wasn't anyone to fight. So Anne and her officers are like, okay, if there's going to be a fight, we need to go into the fucking caves. So let's go.
Yeah. They have a little war council really quick, though. They're like, we need to just talk about this and make sure we're all on the same page. And Quox is like, hey, like, I should probably, like, drop in on Ruggedo and, like, do the orders that the Jinjin sent me on.
Anne's like, no!
Yeah, she's like, no. We already got the gnomes to flee, and now we just need to go in the cavern and finish the job. Which, like...
Y'all would have been dead without that dragon.
Yeah, exactly. The gnomes did not flee from the army. They fled because the dragon let everyone live.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah,
you would have been
not.
Stabbed with 1,000 spears.
Yeah.
But Quox is like, all right, girl, like, you go give it a try. That sounds really, really hard, just so you know. But, like, go do it. Like, go do it. And I'm going to rest here because I'm thousands of years old. And you taking 2, 3, 4 days, it's nothing to me. So he's being a little sassy, and she deserves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's totally fine for him to act like that.
Yeah. He's traveled apparently over 10,000 miles.
He's done so much already.
Yeah.
He's done more than he's really had to.
Yeah. But he's like, I got my seats off.
Anna's pissed. She's like, oh, yeah. Well, like, actually, like, why don't you just go back to Teetity Hoochoo now? Because the Gnome King is as good as captured. And we have him in the bag already. Like, he's ours. So why are you even here? It's pathetic that you're still hanging out here.
Anna's the worst fucking leader I've ever seen.
She's annoying. She's a kid. But Anne is, or Anne, Quox is like, no, that's okay. Like, I'll just wait. You just come and get me if you need my help, okay?
Yeah.
Which is...
He still has shit he's got to do.
Yeah. I know, yeah. He's like, I'm not gonna trust you and just leave.
I'm not going back until I'm fully free.
Yeah. But that is the end of chapter 15. The dragon defies danger. And Blake, what would you defy that?
Queen Anne digs her own cave.
Ooh.
We're liking them this week.
That was a good one. Because I'm mad at her.
Chapter 16. The Naughty Gnome.
Literally when you said that, I saw his little ruby slippers twinkling.
The Naughty
with his
gnome.
Legs
so
crossed.
Naughty. Yeah. His at the ankle, crossing and uncrossing.
So coquette. So the Shaggy Man lets Quox and Anne have their little argument about who's going to defeat Ruggedo and who's not. Because he knows he has his love magnet in his pocket, and he knows it's going to work on the gnomes. Because the only time it's not worked for him is with those heartless flowers. Gnomes have hearts.
Supposedly. Yeah. I don't know.
Where did we read that? Where's
See,
Joe?
See, that's what
Where's
I wonder.
Joe, Joe Files.
Yeah, get him.
Did you read this on your...
better
No, I'm not going to do it.
What were you going to do?
Did you just read this on your coconut tree?
Did that book just fall out of a coconut tree?
Oh, that's better.
That's going to be the trailer. And I don't care what anyone says.
But the truth is, Shaggy Man lives in a context where...
Oh my god.
But in truth, the Shaggy Man's main concern was finding the Gnome King, because obviously that was going to be the hard part. And so now he's like, you know, I'm here. I'm chilling. Like, whatever happens, like, I have the love magnet, so it's going to be fine.
I'm
the
not
end.
Leaving without my brother.
Yeah, like, done.
Not without my daughter, starring Sally Fields.
Oh my god.
And Anne gathers her army and they establish a plan of attack. And Anne tells TikTok, she says, do not fire that gun unless you absolutely have to.
Oh my god.
Because she doesn't want unnecessary bloodshed.
Yeah. Like, girl, if you're going for world domination, you're gonna have to crack a skull or two.
Yeah. She's fine
People
taking slaves
die.
But not shooting someone.
Yeah.
She's like, I need the bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's it. She doesn't care about the bloodshed. She just doesn't want any wasted work efforts.
Exactly. She's like, if you're living and breathing, you're under my command.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone has an orchard. Everyone has an orchard.
Yeah.
That's all you were doing before, Anne. But TikTok agrees, even though he doesn't think Ruggedo would bleed if he filled him with 100 holes. Which I'm like, yeah, aren't they like rock people? Like,
yeah.
What are they?
They're full of sand.
Okay. Ew.
I don't know.
That's actually scary. They're like, ooh.
Oh, God. I'm melting.
When you tip them back and forth and make a really soft, like, shh. Sound.
Oh, instead of like, you know, when you shake around after you drink in a lot of water.
Oh, yeah. But they're just full of sand.
That's sand.
So the army lines up. And the officers order TikTok to march. And he starts leading the fray down into the Gnome King's cavern. And as they're climbing down the mountain, he falls a few times. But as the ground becomes more smooth, he gets along much better. But yes, every time he fell, you know it was that, pick me up, pick me up.
Yeah.
And they finally... why is he the fucking private?
I mean, he can't.
He was the only one who agreed.
He's
right.
Not alive.
I
either.
Remember.
Well, they get to the mouth of the cave and they're marching proudly. And the friends just wait outside, though. Like, the officers and Anne and TikTok go in, but like Polly, Rose Princess, Hank, Files. Betsy, Files, Shaggy Man, all way to the mouth. And they're like, bye. They just want to see what happens, you know. And this is where we learn about something somewhat convenient, but also interesting.
Yeah, see, because Ruggedo knows that they're coming, and he prepares himself for them. And how he prepares himself is by removing the top cover from the massive pit that fills the entryway into his throne room.
Yeah, apparently. You
know, the one he had installed.
There's just a big pit that usually it's covered, but he was like, take the cover off.
So today we're taking the cover off the pit.
Yeah. The second time he has tricked people into a big hole in the ground, may I add.
Oh my.
That's true.
That is but true.
He has them remove it, and they all are walking in, and there's not a lot of room to walk around it. Like, it's like you could like edge around it on the ledge, but it's a big hole and it's super dark, so you can't see it that well.
They're in a cave.
But apparently TikTok's copper eyes can see it clearly.
Oh, he doesn't see with eyes. Light. He doesn't see with light. Like
I
we
guess
do.
He
just sees.
What is he? What?
No one told me that.
Exactly. I don't know what it is, but he has really good vision, though.
That's crazy.
For some reason.
Okay, TikTok.
So and he edges right around.
He scoots around, but what he doesn't do is go, hey, guys, big pit right here, follow me.
Yeah.
Like, so he doesn't happens, know. Everyone falls in.
Everyone.
Oh, yeah, everyone falls God. In.
And no one screams. There's like 10 people with him.
Yeah. There are 16 officers and then Anne.
They're all like, shh.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
Oh, my God.
Don't say anything when we're falling.
No, it'll be funny. It'll be funny.
It's actually a joke.
That's so stupid.
I am sick to my stomach. All of the officers and Queen Anne are in the pit. And once all of the Oogaboos are down
there's
there.
There's like 30 people, actually. Like, that's the army,
it's
too.
It's like 20 people.
Yeah, it's and, 17 people in the hole.
Oh, and Anne. Oh, 16 and Anne. Yeah. You're right. But so when they're all in there, one of the gnomes just cranking a lever until the thing closes back and blocks it. And this is an audible media, and I understand nobody knew what I was doing.
Also, you were doing like a winch, a lever you just pull once.
No, and that's true.
And it also reminded me of when you were rolling down a car window in the 90s.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Can I get a Big Mac?
Yeah, actually, you just need one hand with it, but that's what it was giving me.
Oh my gosh. They're all trapped inside, and TikTok just keeps on marching right up to Ruggedo, and he's like, you have been conquered in the name of Queen and so forth of Oogaboo. You are her prisoner.
And Ruggedo laughs in his face. Yeah. And he's like, where's Anne then? Where's the queen? And TikTok's like, she'll be here in 8 minutes. She must have stopped to tie her shoe.
Yeah. He did not know that anyone behind him fell into that giant pit he skirted
around.
Why
would he not think that? He obviously avoided something. He went around something and he went silent. Well, maybe he thinks everyone can see like him.
He must, but how does he how does he not know, you know? He knows everything else about his existence.
He's surrounded by people who aren't like him. He knows what they need and what they do.
No one told him what to do, though.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe Queen Anne said, you keep marching and don't look back.
Oh, don't say anything. You shut the fuck up.
Yeah, she probably did. Crazy.
Crazy bitch. She said, even if I scream, TikTok! TikTok!
TikTok! TikTok!
Just keep going.
Screaming.
Oh my God. Oh my God. The thing is, the Gnome King like thinks that TikTok is way smarter than he actually is, and like he thinks like that TikTok is like orchestrating something, and he's like, "No more games, TikTok." Like, and he's like, "I've got your Anne and your officers. So what are you gonna do to me?"
But TikTok
he's
is like
do something crazy.
Yeah, well, he is.
I know it.
He's like, my machinery will only allow me to follow orders and conquer you.
Yes. Yeah, so he basically just repeats, "You have been conquered by Queen Anne," and so forth.
Oh my god! I thought he was gonna like maybe take a step back and it would push a button that would make like an anvil fall on him.
Oh my god! Oh my god. He got it from Acme Inc.
Almost.
The Gnome King bangs on his gong, and Calico comes into the room with General Guff, and the Gnome King orders them to take TikTok to the mines and have him start hammering gold.
And he's like, yeah, he's a machine, so he's going to work forever for us.
This is actually going to be awesome.
Which, actually, this would be great for TikTok.
And if you just never wind up his speaking, or his thinking, don't wind up his thinking, he'll betray you.
But no, if you don't do the thinking, then he can't move at all with any, like, any,
oh, that's true. He'll be clumsy.
Yeah.
So just don't wind up the speaking, that's just a fucking work
machine.
Oh,
how awful.
I know. Well, it's a prison.
But then, but then TikTok draws his gun.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Yeah.
If you try to capture me, I will fight. And it's like a fucking chimpanzee with a gun.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to use it or anything.
No. No. And the Gnome King doesn't know it. They don't know what a gun is, so they don't know how much damage it can do. So
they're like
actually,
that's not an
super
egg.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, does it shoot eggs?
So is that an egg?
Is that thing full of eggs?
What does an egg have to do in this situation right now?
Yeah.
How if would there's you, no egg, I'm not scared.
How would you relate an egg to what's happening now?
In this moment, Betsy Bobbin rides in on the back of Hank because she got bored and she was like, she rides in like, is the Gnome King conquered yet or what?
Literally. Yeah, that's exactly
like,
what she
knock,
said.
Knock, knock, knock. Hey, listen up.
Well, the Gnome King is pissed. He says nails and nuggets, and he's yelling because he's like, you brought a mule into this cavern and you're unannounced. And Betsy's like, there was no one
she
here.
She was very announced, actually.
Yeah, she announced herself.
Betsy's like, if y'all aren't going to get conquered, can you give me something to eat? I'm bored.
Yeah.
And she's always hungry.
And the gnomes are shocked and speechless. They are like, because Betsy's acting crazy. But the Gnome King is like, you're a fucking earth crawler and you're going to die for your insolence.
What
I'm gonna
you
make
just
you not
did
be alive.
Was sign your own death warrant.
Yeah.
So here we go.
And he was like, if you thought you were bored waiting out there, don't worry. Your death is going to be here real quick.
Yeah.
But Betsy's like, I would rather you not kill me. And you're a bad king if you kill a hungry visitor, which is good advice.
She's like, we'll discuss this killing business after you feed me. But I gotta say, I don't think I'm gonna change my mind.
Yeah,
on
she's like, even on death row, they give a meal.
Exactly. If I was walking the green mile, I'd give it something.
Yeah. And the king is confused, and he takes a second, and then he's like, well, what do you want to eat? And Betsy's like, I don't know, a ham sandwich or a couple of boiled eggs. Yeah. The Ruggedo goes crazy. He's like,
we cannot skip Betsy's joke. Because Betsy's like, what's the matter? Did the price of eggs go up again?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
I'm like, that's something we're fucking talking
that's
about right now.
That's actually relevant.
That is. 1918
Why
and 2024.
Going
They're just
price.
Always
going
to be expensive. There's so many chickens.
It's because corporations don't.
They've been doing us for a long time now.
So Ruggedo is going crazy. And he says, Guff, destroy her at once. Destroy the mortal. Take her and throw her into the slimy cave. And lock the door.
Why does it got to be slimy?
We're not going to...
Why does it got to be slimy? But it kills her.
Yeah. It kills her.
Sorry. My notes. Yeah. And
like,
it kills her.
She's dead.
It would kill her.
No, it could kill her.
But we will never find out because just then Calico sneaks behind TikTok.
Who's still wielding a gun.
Kicks the back of his knees.
Oh my
he
God.
Falls forward. The gun goes off. No, it doesn't really go off, but it slides across the floor. Oh my god, yeah, in the jewel-encrusted cavern.
I wish.
God. But the gun goes flying, but then Guff lunges forward and he grabs Betsy and she's screaming. And then Hank kicks Guff in the stomach.
Hank says, not today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his girl.
Absolutely flying like a cannonball. He flattens the Gnome King into the wall and they both like end up on the ground, just like dizzy, dazed, can't do anything.
So I'm picturing like jagged cave wall. That can't feel
good. It's jewel encrusted.
Oh, it is jewel encrusted.
Yeah, so it's probably fairly smooth, like, you know.
Now, noticing that these other two are hurt, Calico is like, Betsy, follow me. I'm going to help you.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to save you. And Betsy thinks that he looks honest, and that she decides, okay, I'm going to go with this guy.
So Calico leads Betsy through several caverns. And Hank leads them through several caverns, and they come into this like small cave full of comfy furniture. And Calico's like, this is my own room. You can hide here.
And he,
sweet baby.
Yeah, he leaves. He returns with food, some broiled mushrooms, mineral bread, and petroleum jelly. Petroleum butter.
She cannot eat petroleum, so she doesn't.
Yeah, but the mushrooms and the bread are delicious, which is great. Okay. Which I think we had similar jokes when Dorothy had her meal in the Gnome King's Cavern in book 3.
Yeah, she really liked the like magma tea or something like that.
Well, we had the gnomish coffee because I think the coffee that was our drink for it.
Yeah,
but I think the coffee was good. But there was something she couldn't eat too.
Yeah,
there was all sorts of food in the Gnome Kingdom.
I do remember that, or was it? It was a coffee, not tea.
Well, that's what that was our cocktail.
They had coffee.
They had coffee too. So Calico brings her the snack, and she's like, "Thank you." And he's like, "Okay, I have to go. Here's a key. Lock yourself in this room after I leave and do not open the door again unless you hear me knock 3 times. She's like,
That's it?
Yeah, I'm like, you need to make a much more
sophisticated
knock.
Like anyone can knock 3 times. I feel like my normal knock is 3 times.
Yeah, seriously. But she's like, okay, like, can you get Ozga and Polychrome and like bring them here too? Those are the only two she's concerned about.
Yeah, she just the other girls.
There's like 16 more people there.
Yeah. But he's like, where are they?
And she says that they're outside, which doesn't really help. And Calico doesn't super address that. And then he's just like, okay, knock 3 times. And then he leaves.
So
meanwhile,
yes,
the camera pans down through the earth and into a dark pit where Anne so forth. And the 16 officers are stuck, trapped, imprisoned, and in bondage.
Oh, so they're fully in there.
They can knock it out. The walls are too high, and there's a cover on it.
And it's dark and smelly and muddy. It's disgusting down there.
Anne is like mad, then annoyed, then discouraged. And the officers are all terrified, and they start to turn on her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And they're like,
they're going to eat her.
Literally. Yeah. They're like, if it wasn't for you and your greed, we wouldn't even be in this situation. We just want to grow our orchards. That's all we wanted to do. We didn't even want to be here.
She's the worst leader ever, too.
Yeah.
So she goes to pout.
Yeah. She sits down, and by pure luck, her elbow, this is something similar to what you said earlier, Hannah,
I know,
hits a secret panel, and then a passageway springs open.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo,
yeah.
Where are you?
There's no anvil, but there is a secret passage.
Okay, it's something a little nicer.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. But
it's giving Scooby-Doo, not Looney Tunes.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah, and the monsters on the other side of it when it flips around.
No,
it's just Anne falling through. But she falls through.
And she is so happy she finds this because she is like, fellas over here, please stop hating me. Follow me.
I found our way out.
And she is leading them rather than being behind all of them.
Why would
so
they
it's a
have
big moment.
Like a... Why would they have that in prison?
I know. I don't understand. And
gnomes love caverns.
But we don't know where it's going to go.
That's true.
And it is a
maybe
crawl
this is
space.
How they...
Hannah, it is a crawl
because this
space.
Is actually pretty horrible.
It's like really frightening for
me. It's reminding me. This is what I'm picturing. I remember I saw a TikTok of like cave like dive.
Oh,
or not like cave dive, but like people that crawl in caves and stuff.
Spelunkers.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Well, it was like one guy that was like going through and it was showing like the tunnel. Mind you, it was so fucking small, like, and thin.
Trigger warning.
Yeah. Trigger warning for claustrophobia. and he's going, and apparently in this cave, most people are able to turn around, but only if you're under 6 feet. And this guy was like 6'1 or 6'2.
No, back out.
And wasn't able to turn around. So he was stuck. And so he decided just to keep going, not realize. I'm sorry. I'm getting scared.
You're like making it scarier by coughing.
He's like, I'm just going to keep going straight and it'd probably take me somewhere, not realizing that the cave actually ends, and it ends where it starts Stop. Going like downward.
Stop.
So now he's stuck with nowhere to go Stop. Downward in a cave. It was literally like the scariest thing I ever saw. He did end up getting out, like rescued and everything, and was able to get out. It was like a TikTok thread that I was watching, but oh my God, I was like, this makes me, I'm never going to ever see myself in a cave.
No. The passage is so narrow that they have to crawl in a single file. So that's my number one no. Number two, they're crawling on their hands and knees. And it's pitch black. The tunnel is corkscrewing through the earth, zigzagging, going up and down. And they're going for a long time.
And if it ends in a dead end or it gets too narrow, they all, 20 people, have to go backward.
That's what I kept thinking, was if I was in the middle and the person in front of me and behind me both passed out, what do you do?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're on your hands and knees. Also, the rocks are so rough. It has already torn all the
they're
skin
in
off
pain.
Their knees.
It says they're yeah. in pain.
Yeah. They're howling in pain. Their hands and knees are all bloody. They're crawling over each other's blood, mixing it together with blood. Even,
like, they're blood brothers.
The fact that I'm not able to like stretch.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That or does just something stand up.
Okay, like, everybody crawl a foot forward and lie down, stretch everything out.
It's also pitch black. And so you don't know. All you can hear is everyone else's breath. And they are just crawling.
The officers are literally like sobbing. Their knees are fucked. They're in so much pain. And they're like, this is never going to end. And like, we're in the middle of like the mountains, like we're just in a mountain, we're never gonna get out of here.
Yeah.
And Anna's like,
we just don't even know where we're going.
Anna's like in just as much pain as they are, and she's like, it goes somewhere or it wouldn't be here. I think that they're gonna find some other prisoners who tried to escape and they didn't finish digging.
Oh God. But they'll be alive. But
that's true. They will be alive.
Even if they're in peace. Yeah,
even if they're just bones.
Oh, and they'll try and eat the Oogaboos. But meanwhile, the Oogaboos are doing that. They're crawling through this passage. And then we pan back up to the surface, wherever that is. And the Rose Princess, Files, Polychrome, Shaggy Man are all just sitting at the entrance wondering what the fuck has happened.
Where's Betsy?
Friends.
Where's TikTok? Where's the army? Yeah. What's going on? Where's
it's like,
Hank?
Girl, you don't even want to know.
Yeah.
It's too much
Something
to explain.
Terrible happened to everybody. But that is the end of chapter 16, The Naughty Gnome. And Blake, what would you call that, naughty?
And so forth, The Lucky.
Thank you for listening to Oz Hour. Please join us next time as we continue with chapter 17, A Tragic Transformation. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow us on our Instagram and TikTok at Oz Hour Podcast for the latest on everything Oz. Oz Hour, created and hosted by Blake Stone and Wyatt Swangham. Co-hosted by Hannah Aguirre. Audio production by Charlie Johnson. Theme music written and performed by Rudy Klobus. Cover art by Valentin Lucas.